Anyone going to a game like now in NBA, you've got no idea how to spend your time. It doesn't matter. It's literally these are people. These are the type of people who literally go to all you can eat buffets and fill up on rice.
Welcome to the Long Snapper podcast. This is an introduction. My name's Adam. Hope you're all doing well. I have some people of various standings with me. I have Pat, the best kind of person. How are you doing, Pat?
Hello, I'm standing.
which everyone's going to be able to see, which is perfect. Mark is here, chuckling away. How are you doing, Mark?
Hello, yeah, good. Pete, good to be back.
Yeah, where have you been a couple of weeks? It doesn't really matter, but
no, having a life.
I won't bore you with that, but it's nice to be here.
Okay, fair enough. Rich is here. How are you doing, Rich?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Not bad. All right, really. Thanks for asking. We have a fifth person and a guest. I mean, we're all guests, but we have
not
a man.
Not in the Iraqi sense, though.
No. We have a man who, I mean, you may remember from podcasts such as Waxing Lyrical or Mains and Dutton Discuss Football, which was definitely better. Talk Sport appearances every now and then, all sorts of stuff. But basically he's here because posted a tweet saying, I haven't podcasted for ages. And then I think Pat replied and say, do you fancy doing one? So how you doing? Neil Dutton.
And they tried to silence me. That's what it was. You know, they, whoever they are, didn't want to hear me speak. But here I am. I remain silent no more.
I mean, they can't have tried that hard. I mean, if you're putting come and get me tweets out.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, it was the, you know, hold me back, mate, as you back up yourself, that type of silencing. Oh, it's a self-silencing, if such a thing exists.
So you are, in fact, they.
I am they, we are they, he, she, they, it, or they, yeah. It's one of those irregular verbs, you know.
You've obviously missed it a little bit, or have you not? I don't know. It's nice to have a break sometimes.
It is nice to have a break. I'd gone pretty much at least once a week, sometimes several times, hearing this horrible nasal scouse monotone from other people, you know, for over 10 years. And then just, I say it was March, no, it's like May, the last time I actually recorded anything. So it's, you know, my family are sick and tired of hearing me blather on at them the things I'd normally moan to Mainsy with. But so I think they're happy that I've locked myself in the room and fired up the old the microphone that, again, I'd forgot I'd switched off and couldn't work out to switch back on. but no, it's been weird because, as I say, it was a big thing I did. You know, I don't do much other things of note or significance that other people find interesting, but I don't think anyone found that one interesting either. So it was, you know, it's nice to be invited on. As I say, it was a cry-in, you know, on the Twitter that you good people did accept. Everyone else, you know, the network, Roto World, Yahoo, they all ignored it. But you find folk didn't.
I mean, you take anything you can get. It feels a bit like, is it a bit like Roy Hodgson retiring, where like your family have suddenly turned around and said, I miss having that evening where you used to go and lock yourself away in a room for a bit and we didn't have to see you for an hour or two. Is that more or less the gist of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, my family like the, you know, the concept of me.
More than the reality.
Yeah. It's a nice thing to, you know, to acknowledge. It's a bit like Captain Mannering's wife. You know, everyone talks about it, but no one ever saw it. I think that's what they'd like.
I'd have gone Maris from Frasier.
Similar thing.
You're basically Maris from Frasier or Captain Mannering's wife. Perfect. Right, if you're, for anyone not familiar with the format of this, I mean, there isn't much of a format, but we generally start with a little quiz to keep us entertained, or that's the idea. Sometimes they don't entertain, sometimes they're impossible, but hopefully I found the right note with this. It's loosely, well, it was going to be loosely based on Only Connect, which I know you're a massive fan of. I suspect we all are. But what I've got, I'm going to give you, each question's going to be four players who I'm going to read out. And you're going to have to identify the team that they all have in common. So if you choose, you can buzz in whenever you think you want to have a guess. If you buzz and don't get it correct, you'll be locked out of that question. If you buzz after I've read one name out, you'll get 5 points, and then 3, 2, and 1 in the only connect traditional format. But yeah, other than that, it's best of luck. It will hopefully make sense once I start. Hopefully your buzzers will sound exactly like you saying your own name.
And the wonders of technology. That we set that up.
Yeah, it took a bit of doing.
See, mine's broke. Mine sounds like Mark.
I pity your buzzer.
So let's try this and see how on earth we get on. Don't know. I mean, yeah, we'll just do it. What's the worst that can happen? Are you all ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Here we go. Right, first question. Your first name is Teddy Bridgewater.
Doesn't narrow it down.
I mean, this is the risk you take. You might want to go for glory at 5 points. You may not. You may take more risks as you fall behind. Who knows? Second name is... Oh, yes, Mark.
Carolina Panthers.
Incorrect. You're frozen out of this question.
Rich.
Okay, this is how it's going to
go. Here we go.
Now he's narrowed it down. The Vikings.
Incorrect. You're locked out as well. Second name is Joe Flacco.
Denver Broncos.
That's my name, apparently.
I changed it after the 55-21 Super Bowl in sympathy. I thought, you know, I wanted to bear the humiliation with them.
they've lost some Super Bowls in their time. Broncos is correct. That gets you 3 points? Yeah, 3 points.
I remembered.
Can I give them to Wednesday?
For £100, you can. Right, next question. Julius Peppers. Khalil Mack.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Carolina Panthers.
Incorrect.
Neil.
Yes, Neil.
Bears.
Correct. You have got another 3 points. Takes you up to 6. Next up, Matt Hasselbeck. So you've still got about 32 teams, it could be. Charlie Whitehurst.
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Tennessee Titans.
Incorrect.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Seahawks.
Nope. Incorrect as well. Jacoby Brissett.
Neil.
Mark, you're locked out. Go on, Neil.
The Colts?
It is the Colts for 2 points. And my spreadsheet's done something weird. That's good, isn't it?
Very good. Are we being too welcoming, guys? Should we try and get some?
Well, you are 8 points in a hole. So yeah,
I'm relying on you and Mark for that.
I'm trying. I just keep shouting out the Carolina Panthers.
It's got to be right sooner or later.
To be fair, you know, it's the Carl Pilkington philosophy of, if you were on a university challenge and just answered egg every time, eventually it's going to be egg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those. I'm not sure how many questions, you know, or the format you should take this. You know, if you're ever, you know, let's hope not, you know, on trial, and you know, the judge asks you a question and you say Carolina Panthers, I'm pretty certain that's contempt of court and all kinds of other things. So.
How many times do you have to say Panthers before I lock you out the whole quiz? That's just an unspoken rule.
Let's see how it goes.
Right, next question, Algie Crumpler. Penn Wisenhunt. Yeah, he was a player as well. Jonnu Smith.
Neil.
Go on, Neil.
Titans.
Incorrect. You are locked out. Mark was next, I think.
Patriots.
Incorrect. Oh. Final name.
I was going to say Patriots, so I'll go Falcons, because that's where Smith went next.
Oh, you are just in time to get 2 points there before I said Tony Gonzalez, which would have halved your score. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons. All right, Kyle Orton.
Oh, fucking hell.
Some exactly, PTSD going on there.
Exactly the reaction I was looking for. Matt Castle.
Again, I'll repeat the previous answer.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Bills.
Incorrect.
Fuck,
you're not having much luck here. The third name is Warren Moon.
Pat.
He didn't play for the Bills.
Go on, Pat.
Broncos.
You are incorrect, I'm afraid.
Shit.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
Titans?
No.
Freaky.
This is going well.
Neil.
Go on.
Chiefs?
Yes, it's the Chiefs. Well done for 2 points. Takes you up to 10. Pat is on 2. Nobody else has troubled scorers, as they say.
Yes, level with Mark.
All right, normally winning.
Next up, Percy Harvin.
Rich.
Go, Rich.
Seahawks.
No!
Oh.
Stefan Diggs.
Mark.
Ah.
Go on, Mark.
Oh, it's one of two! Vikings.
That gets you 3 points.
Yes.
Well done, you're on the board. All right. Darren McFadden.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
Raiders?
No, you're frozen out. Eddie George.
Ah.
Pat, I think, was just first.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that gets you 3. Takes you up to 5 points. Next up, Mario Williams. Kiko Alonso.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Buffalo.
Yeah, 3 points. Takes you up to 6. Okay, Randy Bullock. No sniggering. Mike Legend.
Neil.
Go on, Neil.
Bengals?
Correct. 3 points for that. Kenny Britt. Derek Mason. Corey Davis.
Neil.
Neil's first.
Titans.
It is the Titans. You've saved me the misfortune of having to say AJ Brown's name at the end there. So I appreciate you for that. All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, come on. Play the game.
All right. Nick Foles. Case Keenum. Sam Bradford.
Neil.
Rams. Well, it is the Rams. Well done. But only a point there.
God, they've had some journeyman. when do you think? I mean, I first started watching the NFL when it was the greatest show on turf, and it was obviously, you know, pretty good to watch. But then you realise it was like after they had Warner, then they had a decent run with Bulger, then it was like 10 years of utter crap at quarterback. Good God!
Yeah,
just be a quarterback factory, and I'm done with it.
They went through some, didn't they? Although they're not alone in this, to be fair.
No.
All right. Next question. Carlos Dunlap. Frank Clark.
Neil.
Yes, Neil.
Seahawks.
It is the Seahawks. Well done. Next up, Carlos Hyde. Brandon Mark.
Jags.
No. I was halfway through saying Brandon Jacobs for the second name. OJ Simpson.
Oh, Neil.
Go on.
49ers?
It is.
Oof.
2 points there. All right, Frank Gore. Chris Johnson.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
Jets.
Yes, you have points.
Well done, Rich.
3 of them. All right. If you thought Ryan Fitzpatrick was bad, Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, here we go.
Taylor Heineke.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
Commanders?
No, it's not.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Falcons.
No.
Neil?
Yeah.
Panthers.
It is the Carolina Panthers.
Hey!
Just wasn't there when you needed it, Mark.
Damn it.
All right. Five to go. Golden Tate.
Five?
Five. I know, it's hard to know how long these take, but here we are. But go, yeah. Golden Tate. Mac Hollins.
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Giants.
It's not the Giants. You're frozen out. DeSean Jackson.
Pat.
Go, Mark.
Eagles.
It is the Eagles. Nobody's getting their own team here. That's just how it's going to be. All right, Derek Anderson. That warrants the same reaction as earlier, probably. Trent Dilfer. Deshaun Watson.
Pat.
Come on, Pat.
Cleveland Browns.
It is the Browns. That takes you on to 7 points. Rich is on 3, Mark's on 8, Neil's on 24. I mean.
So you're saying there's a chance?
We'll play this out.
Literally not.
All right, Kai Forbath. Stephen Hauschka. Brandon McManus. Josh Lambeau.
Ah.
Come on, Pat. I think you know this.
Jaguars.
It is. Of course it is. All right.
But in my defense, I've forgotten 3 of them.
I mean, you would.
Block them out, you mean?
Wait.
Jay Cutler. He had to feature somewhere.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
Why not? It's not going to be the Bears, but let's go with the Bears.
You're right, it's not the Bears. Bernie Kosar.
Mark.
Yeah, go on, Mark.
Dolphins?
It is. It is Miami. Okay. Mike Tolbert. Darren Sproles.
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Panthers.
No. It's Neil. I think Mark was next. Mark. Just.
Chargers.
It is the Chargers, so you get some points, 3 points. It's not enough. Neil, get some music. Well done. Nicely done. I don't think you quite beat the rest of them put together, but it was close. I don't know if that's memory lane for some of these players, or memories you'd rather forget.
I'm not on commission or anything, but if they want to get in touch with me, that's fine. On Pro Football Reference, the website, they have a thing called Immaculate Grid.
Oh, yes.
It's three by three, and you've got to find connections. So, they'll have three team names down one side, three team names down the other. So, and you can only use one name once. So, obviously, if you've got a team that
it's Adam's favourite thing.
I love that. It's absolutely brilliant.
I mean, the number of times that literally it's just JT O'Sullivan. Yeah, there we go. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Vinny Testaverde. We're all good. One of the things that baffled me was it was Atlanta Falcons and 3,000 passing yards in a season. So you don't want to be too obvious. Mike Vick, wrong. I went, well, that's bollocks. So I checked it. No, he never passed for 3,000 yards as a member of the Falcons.
Yeah.
That blew my tiny little mind.
But he'd have got so many yards with his legs that he wouldn't have needed to.
Yeah.
Obviously, Matt Ryan would have been correct, I assume, and probably not many others.
Yeah, that would have been the 75% answer.
Yeah.
You've got to look for the 0.1%. When it's the New York Giants Super Bowl winner, Matt Barr. There we go. No one's picking that.
If you find a long snapper, you're doing pretty well. The best victory in that was the Broncos and Eagles. And coming up with Brett Kern, which was just fell right into my lap.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was 0.02 or something. I probably pushed that percentage up just myself in doing so. Okay, let's do some reviews of some Week 8 games, whatever week this is. If you're new to this format, I've given you some games. You've all got some games. It all goes in one take every time, and we just nail this perfectly, just so you know. We'll start, if you remember that far back, with Tampa Bay 18, Buffalo 24.
Probably a good idea to pay attention on a Hail Mary play that you could win the game on, Chris, even if you don't really believe that your quarterback can throw it that far.
That's definitely what happened. Houston 13, Carolina 15.
The battle of the top two picks was won, unexpectedly, by the number one pick for the first win of his career. Thanks, Bryce.
LA Rams 20, Dallas 43. Yes, CD Lamb is special, but it would be nice if he could be special and Cowboys fans could be bearable about it. Minnesota 24, Green Bay 10.
Vikings looking genuinely impressive, playing some exciting offensive football. All until Cousins tears his Achilles and sends their season into the shitter.
It's all about Josh Dobbs.
New Orleans. Really
it should be. He's a great guy. New Orleans 38, Indianapolis 27.
All Saints offense has a big vibe of I don't even want to be around here anymore, except take some help.
New England 17, Miami 31.
This one was closer than most people expected, but still not close.
New York Jets 13, New York Giants 10. Deep breath. Fumble. Field goal. Punt, 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 punt. Touchdown. Miss field goal. Punt, punt, punt. Punt, punt, punt. Fumble. Punt, punt, punt. Touchdown. Punt, punt, punt. Punt, punt, punt. Punt, punt. Turnover on downs, missed field goal, punt, field goal. Jacksonville 20, Pittsburgh 10.
Why, Pittsburgh? Why? That's just a general question. We don't need to see this anymore.
Thursday night football coming up. Atlanta 23, Tennessee 28.
Across the first 3 weeks of the season, Tannehill, Willis, Henry combined for 3 passing touchdowns. Will Levis got 4 in just one game. Not 3, first 7. I don't know why I had 3 in my notes. Completely
what the
that.
Hell you said there, mate?
Wow. I know what you were trying to say. That's enough. Philadelphia 38, Washington 31.
An old-school shootout in Washington, and not many teams are going to win a shootout against an Eagles team packed with so much firepower.
Not sure they've got that much firepower. Cleveland 20, Seattle 24.
Why can't either of these teams just be normal?
Certainly not the Browns. Baltimore 31, Arizona 24.
A game where 2 late Arizona touchdowns made the scoreline far closer than the game actually was. Ravens defense dominated.
Kansas City 9, Denver 24.
Andy Reid's attempt to recreate the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver room of the early 21st century. Very bold, very stupid.
Cincinnati 31, San Francisco 17. Maybe Brock Purdy isn't actually an AI quarterback after all. Chicago 13, LA Chargers 30.
Oh yeah, there you go, Chargers fans. Enjoy that false hope while it lasts.
Finally, Las Vegas 14, Detroit 26.
Jameer Gibbs, welcome to the NFL. Have we checked? Has Devontae Adams been traded yet?
May as well have been.
I don't think he has.
He has not.
Nope.
And the window has already slammed shut.
And he will be savage about it. My word. Have you ever seen a man more hacked off with his quarterback?
Jim, he was wide open like
twice
into the end zone twice, and Jimmy G couldn't even get close to him.
Aside from literally giving a press conference live from Josh McDaniels' bedroom with his wife there, I don't know what else Devontae Adams has to say to make everyone aware he doesn't want to play for this man.
I don't know that much of that team does.
It's a funny world where someone you could miss, Derek Carr, so much. He sat there as that Wolverine meme, Devontae Adams, with the picture of Derek Carr, which seems farcical to think about, but that's where they're at.
He got traded there to go play with his best mate, and like he got traded away, and now he's being thrown. Oh my God, you'd be savage. What a shit show that franchise is.
That's while you're here. We could talk about fantasy football, but I don't think we really want to. But let's chat a bit about the Philadelphia Eagles, seeing as you're wearing that very nice black jersey. Are they Are they a Super Bowl team? Are they winning the Super Bowl team this year? You should be pretty bullish and optimistic, but I suspect you're not, knowing you.
No, I'm not. I never am. I'm still thinking, you know, they could still go 7-10. they are not a perfect team. But that's okay, because there aren't any perfect teams this year. Every team seems to have weaknesses. In the NFC at the moment, the Eagles seem to have fewer weaknesses, or at least less fatal, you know, errors. There is still a worrying lack of continuity between how many different combinations of secondary the Eagles can line up. A few years ago, it was in the 17 games, they had 16 different offensive line combinations, which is impressive. I think they're going for that with the defensive backfield. There's never been the same two safeties starting. The corners have been in and out. They have games like they had last week where, you know, the Washington can go from looking like a very poorly coached high school team against the New York Giants to all of a sudden, you know, Sam Howell activates God mode against an Eagles team that should be literally eating him alive. They're going into the serious meat of the schedule now. They have Dallas twice. They have the Bills. They have the 49ers. They have the Seahawks. Now, at the start of the season, I thought, Seahawks, finally, they don't matter. Pistol Pete continuing to prove me wrong. So,
I think every year,
so
Neil.
Not only helped them, they do that. So, like, why won't the Seahawks go away?
Yeah,
they're another. It's like, no, you've had your moments. You won the Super Bowl. You didn't cash in. Go away now.
Well, no, they rubbish.
Yeah, they continue to be, you know, the later Arsene Wenger era of, no, we'll just get to the playoffs. No, piss off. Let someone else have a go. This is if you're not going to try and win it, don't go. You know, it's like, you know, if you're going to go to Disney, you know, buy the Mickey Mouse ears. Don't go and then sit there and go, we'll put them on. That's it. Well, we don't really want to go to the playoffs. Or we'll qualify and see what happens. So, in the long round way to answer the question, Eagles, you know, this is not the best Eagles team I've seen. The Eagles team that won the Super Bowl in 2017 was a lot more dominant. The Eagles team last year had a little bit more of, we're just going to run 15 consecutive plays down your throat. Stop us. This year, they're trying to do it, but there's just a few too many turnovers, my liking. So I still think they are probably the best team in the NFC, because I can see bigger weaknesses on the other ones. But it's still, if they have to play Patrick Mahomes again, it's still Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, even with no wide receivers. So they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
I think this came up a couple of weeks ago, that a repeat Super Bowl really wouldn't shock me. I don't see much to say that can't happen or won't happen. You're probably right. There's something about Reid and Mahomes. It doesn't matter who's with them. You just back them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if Patrick's going to have, you know, a situation where I think, you know, we all have kids, we all have that everyone else in the family gets sick and leaves you till the end. and if that's what you're going to have and your job is, no, you need to stand upright, make calculated decisions based on things you're seeing in the field, or avoid the big buggers who are trying to hit you. Oh, and you haven't slept for 2 nights because you've now got a temperature. It's far from ideal. I don't think that's going to linger till January or February. So their defense is carrying them to an extent. Obviously, you know, on a given day, if you've got Patrick Mahomes and the opposition scored 24 points, you think he's going to win that game. It just didn't happen against the Broncos. So I have seen a few people, fantasy-wise, panicking about Patrick Mahomes. I'll ease your burden and, you know, make the suffering go away.
It's incredible how knee-jerk people can be on. So it's like the guy's got the flu and has had like one game where he didn't even look that bad. He just didn't look, you know, normal Patrick Mahomes level. He was, you know, he was fine for a lot of that game. He just threw a couple of interceptions that, you know, from a normal quarterback, you'd just be like, yeah, having a bad week. And everyone seems to have decided that he's completely lost it, which is just bollocks.
I bet
you might be having a very different conversation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If there was something on the line with that game, I just think they'd have got it done.
Have we got the we've kind of got the case of the commentator curse by someone was asked a question about the Eagles and we end up talking about Patrick fucking Mahomes. Let's go back to the Eagles, shall we?
All right, I'll take let's go back there. I've got a question for you. And I'd like you to rank these six players, Neil. And they are former Titans that went on to be Eagles. So you need to power rank.
Not that you're angry.
Power rank these six guys.
If there's one name coming up soon, you will hear an expletive.
I think you know yeah. it, and you and I both know who we're. He's about to come up. Yeah, the six names I'm going to give you, I've got varying degrees of bitterness about them. Some I'm not bitter at all. One I'm extremely bitter. So, yeah, these six, Javon Kearse, Marcus Mariota, Brett Kern, Kevin Byard, AJ Brown, and Doriel Green Beckham. So if you could quickly and neatly power it.
Well, you're giving me six names. So Doriel Green Beckham is 25th. Absolute waste of space. I think based on you know recency bias being a hell of a drug, I would have to put AJ top.
Yeah, I feared you might.
Based on the fact that we didn't see the best of Brett Kern, and that's the polite way of saying he couldn't kick a fucking thing, I will say Javon Kearse next. I do actually have a Kearse jersey. I made Mainsy wear it at Wembley one year.
Was that the same year you wore the Riggins one?
No, this was a different one. That was the year before when he lost the bet. The year that, and it was today, actually. That popped up on my Facebook memories, me and that fucking Riggins shit. so, yeah, I'll go AJ Brown, Kearse. I always loved Marcus Mariota in the sense of, you know, we won't let Chip trade up to draft a quarterback at two. But we let Doug, you know, when we could have got Mariota, but instead they thought, no, we're cool with whatever they had that year. I can't really remember. So I'll go Mariota three. Byron, I'm quite excited about, obviously, once he gets acclimated. So I'll take him four. And then Brett Kern five. And then the other fella, many, many leagues below. I'm pretty sure it was him. Who, when they have this thing, was it my cleats, my cause? He made up a charity just so he could wear some flag shoes.
Incredible.
I may be doing him a disservice. I really hope I'm not. But I'm sure I read that. I'll have to check it up later, but
no need to check. Let's just assume it's true because I could believe it. I don't want to be disappointed now. He was just like so many receivers, but seemingly bags and bags of talent, just an absolute waste. We got the best of him in that one year before we traded him. It's funny, there was a lot of I think he got like four touchdowns as a Titan or something. And then, for those who don't know, and you obviously do, he was traded for offensive lineman swing tackle, to put it politely, Dennis Kelly. Dennis Kelly.
That's on the pitch, not in multiple positions.
Dennis Kelly went on to have as many touchdowns for the Titans as Doriel Green Beckham did for the Eagles. And that we're comparing a swing tackle with a wide receiver.
Dennis Kelly's always one of those names, though, isn't it? It sounds like it should be a backup offensive lineman, but it's also your dad's mate. You know, it's just one of those names. You know, also Dennis Kelly. You know, is he still walking that limp? You know, things. You know, that type of name.
He's an Irish guy that's a panelist on a Five Live sports talk show.
The occasional one. He doesn't get. He's not every week.
Not every week. No, he's just there sometimes.
You fit right in. He's also our current offensive coordinator's brother. There's a random fact for you. Not that that's relevant to anything. Right, good transfer.
Good job the other wide receiver that you traded them has turned out a little bit better.
Yeah, well, what
is he the best? Is he the best receiver in football at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. He absolutely is. And
almost unguardable. Uncoverable.
Well, you can cover him, but he's still, like, you can cover him with as many DBs as you like. He'll still stick his arm out and grab a touchdown out of nowhere.
Did you see the stat that came out of this after this game that he's the... it was the sixth straight game that he's recorded. He's got over 125 yards receiving yards in a game, which the previous best was 5 by Megatron. And he's now broken that record in the game against the Commanders. Like, no one is playing better than him in the league at the moment.
It annoys me that at the weekend that Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts was 100% when he was targeting AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. So every pass that went in the way of the two very good wide receivers they have was completed, and they caught 3 touchdowns between them. So riddle me this, Eagles. Why is Kenny Gainwell getting the ball in the red zone when you could do that to those wide receivers?
Offensive coordinators are a mystery.
Oh, Kenny Gainwell, fuck all. That's his name.
There are 32 inept offensive coordinators in the NFL. The only good ones are now head coaches, and they're not good enough to be head coaches. I'm looking at Josh McDaniels, Arthur Smith, and probably quite a few others when I say that. it's baffling. Like, anybody who's played Madden in certain situations, you'd know what play to call, and then you just...
Yeah, but they always overthink it, don't they? It's like it's the whole thing of, like, you could just... You've got fourth and inches on a play you absolutely must get. Just do a quarterback sneak. They're almost unstoppable.
End around the tight end, always.
Right. But they always seem to overthink these things and do absolute nonsense. Oh, talking to the Eagles and quarterback sneaks, I did enjoy the handoff to Swift when everyone's expecting just another one of those shoves. That was a lovely little twist on that one.
I was also mostly pleased to see the Commanders find a way to stop the fucking thing and actually create a fumble out of it. That was
a few other teams have started doing it now. So it's creeping out there.
It'll be banned at the end of this.
Just do a normal QB sneak. If you're good enough, you can just do that, and it works every time anyway.
See, that was
Jimmy G can do those.
Purdy got concussed.
That's all he can do.
Purdy got concussed on the quarterback sneak, but the, how can I phrase this, anti-touch push Illuminati said, Purdy here apparently injured on a touch push. So I had to respond with, journalist apparently doesn't realise it's not a touch push, it's a bad quarterback sneak. Yeah. It was like that a few years ago. Every time there was a play fake, oh, it's an RPO. No, it isn't. Sometimes it's just play action.
Most of the time it's just play action.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. The touch push thing, I was like, I don't care either way. It doesn't bother me that people are doing it. It annoys me that people are like, oh, but there's going to be all these injuries. It's like, when there are injuries, then let's worry about it. But players get injured in all sorts of things in football all the time, and we don't shout that we can't do that anymore because injuries.
I was going to say, Rich, as you know, there's very few injuries in football. And we can't have a play where there's been no injuries occurred by the team running it. We just can't have that.
Right. It's ridiculous.
Also, who was it who said, obviously I don't want to make light of these things, with Kirk Cousins and the fact that he's done his Achilles on grass, that's upset a lot of people's narratives.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can still get injured on both surfaces, right?
It does seem that way.
Your Achilles doesn't care.
Yeah. His Achilles doesn't exist.
And neither does the Viking seat chances.
Well, what? This is, one of a few deadline day. It's not, they don't call it deadline day, do they? Do they call it deadline day? I just keep thinking, yes. Sky Sports News with the clock at the bottom right corner of the screen that's calibrated to 1/100th of a second that counts down until the window slams shut.
Yeah. Why has yellow become the de facto colour of deadline day as well? When did that happen? Is it because that's the colour of the ticker on Sky Sports? Is that literally it?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay, cool.
But with the window having slammed shut, the Vikings have moved for Josh Dobbs to sort out all their QB woes. So I don't know what does this tell you? Does this tell you that they're tanking, or does this tell you that they're trying to make something of their season? I'm not sure what there was left in their season anyway. Neither one thing or the other, is it?
Yeah,
that's the weird thing about it. It's not one thing or the other. There were better quarterbacks, presumably available. If they were, like, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They weren't going to win the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, but I don't get what this move gives them. If they remain competitive, then they're just costing themselves a better draft pick. Are they just trying to keep the stadium full? I don't get it. It seems like a really weird move. As soon as his Achilles went, as I messaged you guys, I expected them to start trading away any kind of asset that they had, proper stick it in the shitter, go and get a really good quarterback in the draft and go again. But they
just still trying to do that while trying to convince their fans that their games might be worth watching? Is that all this is?
I don't know. I wonder if the performance that they put in against the Packers, admittedly a shit Packers team, but they were genuinely like offensively excellent in that game. When Jefferson comes back, they've really found something in Addison. They even managed to get a rushing touchdown. They look really decent, and whether that has played into their thinking of, oh, you know, we might still have a chance to make the playoffs, we can't sack it off just yet, let's give it a go. I don't know. It still seems like a weird move to me.
Adam, I don't know that Nick Mullins is less of a draw than Josh Dobbs as the name, if I'm honest. If you're a Vikings fan looking at those games, I don't think you're going because of one of those two QBs. You're just going out of loyalty and desperation at that point.
I think there are some teams that don't want to acknowledge the window. They are happy to look, as I said before, let's get to the playoffs.
Sorry. Yeah.
let's get to the playoffs and see what happens. So instead of just saying, no, let's be shit for an entire season and the fans will go away, and then we have to bank on the fact that if we do get the top pick, we pick the right player. Bears. yes, Trubisky over Mahomes. Great idea. Whereas the Vikings are still like, look, we're a few games behind the Lions, but the state of the NFC, and with three wildcard teams, they're probably still thinking, look, we can just pinch one of them. Maybe we can get hot at the right time. And, you know, Josh Dobbs is, you know, it's the type of move Super Bowl contenders make. You know, if you go out and get a Josh Dobbs when it's available.
But, if you're looking for that backup.
I mean, if you
want... Oh, my God. Imagine if he ends up being the backup.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is the episode of America's Game that we're talking about. The script right now is going to be quite something, isn't it? The rocket scientists taking the Vikings to Super Bowl glory
behind Jaren Hall. I mean, the one good thing about Josh Dobbs is with TJ Hockenson around, Dobbs was targeting tight ends the third highest rate in the NFL with like Zach Ertz and Trayvon Pride. So, Justin, don't rush back. Jordan Addison, you can get what you want. Pepper the big bugger. That's what we want. that's what fantasy managers are after.
I saw Josh Dobbs first, not literally firsthand, as a stopgap for the Titans at the back end of last year, and you know, when it was apparent that Malik Willis couldn't win anything in any
it's
way.
Still apparent, Adam.
It's baffling that others, not everybody, can see this, but it's like the penny's slowly dropping there. But the improvement in that couple of games when he came in was massive, and like, he's not gonna win the Super Bowl for the Vikings, is he? But he's not terrible.
No, he's perfectly cromulent quarterback. He's one of those players that there does seem to be a cottage industry now of players who are going to be around in the NFL for 8 to 12 years, who will always get the tag of best backup quarterback in the league until he has to play. Which, you know, it's like that, you know, it's the being a backup's the best job in the world. You get paid the absolute shit ton. You get to be on the sideline, you get to hold the eye, you get to sit next to the superstar. The very worst thing that can happen is that you have to play. Because that, you know, that's the, you know, we might have thought you were clever if you hadn't spoke.
Yeah. that's when the bubble bursts.
Ruin the mystique.
Here's one for you all. Who's your favorite backup QB in history?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Often enough, he was.
Yeah.
That's the stock answer for any Eagles fan, I guess. I have to say, for no footballing reasons whatsoever, but clipboard Jesus, just for that hair and those rugged good looks.
I think you find Adam, the answer is probably Frank Wright.
Oh, fuck off.
Look at Mark's happy face.
He was the spitting image of Scott Bakula when he was playing, but he doesn't look like him now.
No, age catches up with everyone.
Yeah, but not Scott Bakula.
Not Scott Bakula.
No.
White Rose is spectacular.
Pat, have you got a name to throw into the mix now that we've stolen all the best ones?
Obviously, Gardner Minshew. He gave me the only happy moments of about 2 years of being a Jags fan. Unlike Nick Foles.
He managed to give me a couple of unhappy moments in that time. So, yeah, he would work. There have been a few deadline day moves. Washington, a clearinghouse, which I'm sure makes you devastated, Neil.
Well, I actually, in conversation with Mainsy, who I say is a Washington sufferer, I said the other day, if I'm Washington, I puke. If I'm Washington, I am saying to Marty Mayhew, the general manager, okay, look, Ron, he's gone. Bieniemy, probably gone. Jack Del Rio, oh God, he's so gone. You will join them 5 minutes after I close the door on their interviews if you do not go out of your way to get enough draft capital to move up to get a quarterback, because you're not going to get there naturally, because they're not good, but they're not bad. They're in purgatory, which is the worst place to be in. So they're not going to finish 2-15. They're not going to finish 14-3 and win the Super Bowl. They're going to be in the middle. So if that means you have to stock up on the assets to help us move up, it's up in the first round, do it. Everyone is expendable. That's pretty much seems what they're doing. So hats off to them. Thanks for doing it after you play the Eagles twice.
Really. How many of those did they win?
True. But,
they gave you two scares, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, by all accounts, they should have won the first time because Rivera should have gone for two. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, no, do you know what? I'll trust to a coin flip. Brilliant, Ron. Riverboat. And then, you know, last week when everyone of the 25 fans in the stadium who were supporting Washington are all shouting, challenge the play. And Ron, like, I didn't see a replay. Do you want this job, Ron? Or do you want to go and do something else with your Sundays?
I don't think he does. I think he's done. He looks, I thought he was done at the end of last season when, you know, when he had multiple moments of just like brain, like OAP moments or brain farts. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I don't see him as wanting to be there, and I don't really understand why he is.
So Montez Sweat's to the Bears, Chase Young to the 49ers. Which
I did enjoy the fact that the Bears had to pay a second and we managed to pay a third. Pretty happy with that.
Is injury maybe the reason, or the contract
status? I suspect
status?
So.
Yeah.
But why are the Bears trading for anybody?
Couldn't understand that.
I don't get that at all. But who understands what anything in that front office, but anyone in that front office does? It's such a badly run organization.
I had assumed that they were going to be the team that was trying to get loads of draft capital themselves. There was a lot of talk of their corner Jackson getting traded. He asked for a trade that hasn't been granted. It seems bizarre to me that, like, as I said, I'm surprised that Montez Sweat didn't immediately request a trade. He seems like
they did it too close to the deadline for him to have a chance. A couple of hours might have done it.
The Bears do have another first round pick next year, obviously because of the Bryce Young trade. They do also have about $85 million in effective cap space, so you'd hope that, because Montez Sweat is a free agent at the end of the year, so if you traded him you must have an idea in place for the deal you're going to give him. Otherwise, for the second year in a row, the Bears have taken a second-round pick and pissed it up the wall.
they do like doing stuff like that.
They're going to do it. But, you know,
I don't understand. Sorry, Neil. I was going to say, I don't understand why, from his perspective, he would go there and sign an extension rather than get to the end of the season and see what he's going to get in free agency. It just doesn't make sense that he would commit to that organization in the short term. If he can go, they'd probably take less money to go somewhere that's competitive rather than sign like a 4 or 5 year deal there.
He's the big winner. I mean, because he has all the cards, because he's either going to ball out and get paid, and they're going to say, well, what are you going to do? Tag me? Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm not playing for it. Or he's going to stink and he'd go somewhere else anyway and rejuvenate his career that way. But again, it's another, well, at the best, the Bears have got someone they have to pay, which is fine if he plays well and they can pay him. Or at worst, they're losing a second round pick, but making back a third round of the comp pick when he signs someone else. Why have you done this?
And if he plays badly, no team is going to hold half a season at the Bears against him versus what he's done in Washington.
They've got the Panthers' first round pick next year, right? So they could wind up with picks 1 and 2 the way those, but
correct.
How are they going to mess that up?
They'll find a way. Who's this year's draft's Mitch Trubisky? Because they will find him.
Well, Caleb Williams is the next big thing.
They'll take Bo Nix then. Who I'm pretty sure was backing up Cam Newton at Auburn. He's been around that long. But...
any other trades today that I've probably missed stuff?
Like, the Rasul Douglas one. I assume Mark is extremely smug about that right now.
Yeah,
Packers fans hate it, which is always a good sign for you, Mark.
So he's a funny one in so much that he was like a little bit of a journeyman until he landed at the Packers, but since he's been there, he's really developed and become a strong veteran presence and has performed incredibly well. The Bills definitely needed a corner after the injury to Trey White. Kyer Elam, who was their first round pick from a couple of years ago, has been horrendous.
Florida corners often are.
Yeah, it just hasn't played well. I'm surprised he hasn't been traded away because he was a healthy scratch on Sunday when he had started the previous week, on Thursday, I should say, when he started the previous week, but hasn't played well. We desperately needed a corner. It would have been nice to get a linebacker as well, but I'll certainly take Rasul Douglas to compliment Christian Benford in our cornerback room.
I just felt glad that we didn't trade Derrick Henry. Not for any football reasons. It would have just broken my heart after Bayard last week.
I genuinely think that the performance of Will Levis on Sunday maybe changed that your entire narrative of your season.
It may have done. It's so weird how fickle, like, not just fans can be, but teams can be. So after a quite brutal game at Tottenham a couple of weeks ago, where Tannehill's hurt. Who have we got backing Brian Tannehill up? Malik Willis, who literally cannot play, as we've just discussed. Will Levis, who everybody hates, especially in Tennessee, because they all hate the University of Kentucky. So where do we go from here? Well, we're trading Kevin Byard. Yeah, it's fairly obvious where we're going to go from here. I don't think we had any choice but to stick Will Levis in on Sunday, just to see what he could do. And it turns out he can do something. Talk about exceeding expectations. I haven't been this excited about a debut performance since Marcus Mariota and that.
Interestingly enough, one of only three quarterbacks to throw 4 touchdowns in his debut. And Marcus Mariota was one of the other three, along with Frank Tarkington.
What a list.
Yeah, unreal.
One word of warning, though, Adam, I should stress, I don't think a 15% touchdown rate is sustainable.
No, not much of it is sustainable. But
imagine if it was though. He becomes the greatest ever NFL quarterback.
Just extrapolate his stats based on one game. It's fine.
I just hand him the rings now.
Yeah, outliers happen. There was a young lady who I think she might be one of my co-writers at Player Profile. I'm not sure. She recorded a video of her. She tweeted out saying, "If Will Levis throws a 4th touchdown pass, I will put mayonnaise in my coffee and drink it." And true to her word, she did. I've seen ill-looking people before. The look and colour on her face as she drank mayonnaise in coffee. My heart bled for her while I puked in sympathy.
There have been some prominent... That's because he bangs on about that, right, doesn't he? He goes on about he puts mayo,
He squirted it in, she had to spoon hers in, so she didn't. So she had to see...
A few Titans personalities on or YouTubers have done the same thing.
I've also seen a video of him eating a banana with the skin on.
Yeah.
That's odd.
I've seen
a bar of chocolate. It's like bizarre.
Does he eat a bar of chocolate with the wrapper on?
No, he peels the
chocolate off the outside.
I'm married to someone who eats a kiwi fruit with the skin on, so it's all a bit.
What?
You are correct.
What?
You are correct.
I don't be able to look at her the same again.
What the fuck, Adam?
You heard me. Well, I don't know what else I can tell you.
I mean, when did you discover this? Were you already married? Because that should have been enough. That should have been enough of a red flag to, like, get rid of her at that point.
Yeah, I'm not being funny. If I saw somebody work doing that, I'd want their hard drive seized.
Yes.
Question is, kids eat kiwis with the skin on or off?
No, they're normal. I mean,
okay, well, that's all right then. As long as they've got that gene.
To be fair, there are more red flags in the other direction. So you've just got to accept it.
I used to work with somebody who ate the core of the apple. ate all around it and then got to the end and just went... That's just so... It's bizarre.
I've just received a WhatsApp that says, I'm married to someone who what?
Uh-oh.
She's listening.
The walls are thinner than I realised.
I used to work with someone who used to eat his meals in alphabetical order.
Amazing.
So whatever was on the plate. I mean, my philosophy is I will always eat what I don't like first.
Yeah, yes. So, that's the correct way to do it.
I thought you meant initially like breakfast, dinner, supper.
No. So it's like, you know, it's veg tastes disgusting if it's cold, but it's palatable while it's warm. Get that down. Yeah, the meat is still meat if it's hot or cold. But no, he would go, so if it was like egg, chips or bacon, he'd go bacon, chips and then egg, which is madness.
No, that's a level of OCD that I like.
Anything with egg, I can't leave on the microwave on another number.
No,
but you want it to be your choice, right?
I might want to mix the eggs and the beans, but I'd like it to be my decision. this is
the skin of the kiwi fruit, though, mate. Come on.
Honestly,
I think we need to delve into this more.
An intervention.
Why does she do this? When she first did it, did she think that that's how you ate the kiwi fruit? And now she just is unwilling to...
Just too proud to change the style.
Despite everyone telling her she's mental.
Commitment to the bit is through the roof.
It's like Rimmer only eating hot gazpacho soup.
Yeah.
So niche, but yeah, that's brilliant. Right, wow. What else have we got to talk about? I mean, if we could get past the kiwi fruit thing.
You're the one that wrote the agenda.
Yeah, we've covered
was
most
kiwi
of it.
Fruit on it?
No, was most of what we talk about on it. Is it ever? No. Okay, this is, despite writing this down, I haven't really thought about this since, but I thought about...
To be clear, Adam, my one sentence previews are on my phone and I'm at 8% battery now. So if we could crack on, that'd be great.
All right. Yeah.
Plug it in, Mark. You're at home.
Well, that involves getting up and going somewhere, though, to get a charger.
You're at home on a laptop with a USB port.
Yeah.
Get my fucking charger wrench.
8%, that's got to be 5 or 6 minutes.
I hope so.
This won't take that long, I hope. Yeah, the New York game. We're not going to get around to talking about what games have excited us this week. I don't really want to talk about this game at all, but it just made me think, what are the worst games we've ever seen? And it's your own team that you tend to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was bad.
I actually remember another Jets game that was worse. It was
2 weeks ago.
I looked it up. It was week 13 of 2012. And the Jets beat the Cardinals 7-6. The Jets had 289 total yards of offense. The Cardinals had 137. Net passing yards for the Jets, 112, 56 for the Cardinals. Mark Sanchez went 10 of 21 for 97 yards, no touchdowns, three picks, three sacks. And Ryan Lindley, a real person, was 10 of 31 for 72 yards, no touchdowns, an interception, and two sacks.
That's pretty impressive.
Seriously, one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen in my life in any genre, in any sport, of anything. A potato skin painting. I'd rather have looked at that for 3 hours than watch this game again.
I do wonder, though, how many other games in history one of the teams had negative passing yards at the end of the game.
This is true.
I heard somewhere that everyone was mocking the QB who came in's name, obviously.
Tommy DeVito.
Danny DeVito literally finished with more passing yards than he did.
How were there so many drives in that? Like, how? So we're 24 punts. How?
I think it's called three and out.
Yeah,
but even a bad three and out should take a bit more time off the clock. I know, I've seen them.
Well, clearly it wasn't a good passing game, so maybe they were just constantly passing it into the floor.
None of it makes sense. I was racking my own brains in the last, while you've been talking. The Jets made me think of a game towards the end of 2014, which any Titans fan will know, that was Al Nadir, you know, where it was Zach Mettenberger versus the aforementioned Charlie Whitehurst for who was going to play when Jake Locker was injured. Well, we had a game against the Jets, which was a...
There's that team again.
That team. Exactly.
Don't think there's a pattern here.
And it was basically a tank fest for getting, and the loser got the higher pick in the draft, and it proved to be us. And there was a farcical laterals play at the end, which just put the icing on the cake. We nearly messed it up by scoring a touchdown and getting in the end zone. It didn't quite. But the box score doesn't do it justice for how bad it is. Okay, the quarterbacks playing were Geno Smith. Whatever happened to him? but he managed 179 passing yards in that game. Charlie Whitehurst managed 203, so this is nonsense. There was a game, another game more recently that we played in Cleveland that was won in overtime and neither team scored a touchdown. So that's quite memorable.
I've got a good one for you.
Go on.
I distinctly remember a game, I think it was 2008 or 2009, where the Bills played an awful, awful Cleveland team. We had Trent Edwards quarterbacking and they had Derek Anderson quarterbacking. It was that era. Anderson completed 2 out of 20 passes in the game. The Bills had about 10 false start penalties at home, the weather wasn't great. We fumbled the ball on a punt near the end, and Cleveland won 6-3. It was quite possibly the worst 3 hours of my life I've ever spent.
I went down the route of worst game I'd ever seen, but I was actually there, which is
humble.
2014, the last year of the Harbour era when we went 8-8 and were just dreadful in some of those games. I went with Adam, your and I's friends, Steve, to New York to watch the San Francisco 49ers play the New York Giants. Eli threw 5 picks in that game, which made Steve absolutely enraged, which was hilarious from my perspective. But from those 5 picks, we managed to punt twice, turn over the ball on downs once, and get 2 field goals out of 5 turnovers. I think we won 16-9 or something. It was utterly atrocious, and it was wet and cold and miserable.
Oh, see, I'd love all of that. That ticks almost every box for me, but mostly Steve's rage.
That was the highlight.
I'll tell you one random, as an outlier, that was like a sneaky absolutely shit game, but is remembered fondly, is the first Wembley game.
Oh, the God.
Dolphins Giants 13-10. Fucking dreadful football.
The conditions made football impossible that day.
Lemon made football impossible that day.
Yeah. That Eli Manning rushing touchdown,
the one that he had.
He was actually going backwards.
He was blown forward by the wind. Yeah, that was a really, really painful watch.
There have been a few in London, actually.
All of these have involved New Jersey teams.
Pat, there've been a few bad Jags Titans games on Thursday Night Football. The mustard versus light blue it doesn't reflect well for either of us, but anything you could do that tops that.
I mean, the hardest thing was picking the worst one rather than finding a bad one. So take you back to November the 16th, 2003, and the Jaguars went to Tennessee and they lost 10-3. Tennessee were 10-0 up at half time. The Jags' first points came with 4 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the fourth quarter when they kicked a field goal. They had one further possession and turned it over on downs, and a loss to Will to Live on more occasions than there were points in the game.
Is that Leftwich or Garrard?
It was Leftwich.
I assume McNair, but McNair might have been hurt. It's not one that sticks in the mind, that.
It was McNair.
Yeah.
With Hendrich coming on for one kneel down.
Say 2003 was his co-MVP year as well, I think. Or was that 2004?
No. Did you say Hendrick knelt down for us?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Neil.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if that was a bad game, it was one of the rare ones he had that season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'm sure it was that year he was co-MVP with Manning.
Yeah, it wasn't our Super Bowl year. It would have been, probably around then. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days.
Bring it back to the current worst game of the season. One of my favourite bits to this entire thing was, I can't remember who's doing comms, but as that field goal was kicked, as time expired in regulation, said very excitedly, delivered the line, and we've got bonus football in Jersey.
That's, I believe, Andrew Catalan.
Yes, that's a man who's earning his money that day.
Yeah. Oh, I think he quite enjoys that sort of game. He's that sort of guy, I think.
Right.
Red Zone has probably ruined it for an extent, but when it used to be that we had just the two Sky games, or we could only watch one, if it was bad, that's stuck in the memory. Now, Scott doesn't go to that game.
It's almost like it doesn't happen, right? It's so weird how you can forget that there are teams playing because there's just nothing happening in that game.
In his own words, all you fans who are complaining, it's called Red Zone. And if your teams don't go near the red zone, you won't be on red zone.
I've picked up on this about a month ago, and you all kind of agree with me. But ever since I've said this out loud, it's bugging me every single week. And it's when the 9:05 games start, and there were always at that point, there were sort of two or three exciting games from the early window coming to their conclusion. All you want to watch is those. Let's see how the Rams Seahawks opening drives going instead of just staying with the drama wherever it's happening.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of time to do that in the subsequent 3 hours with only three games happening.
Exactly. We can even if the play isn't happening at that exact moment, there'll be something. But
the 9 games in the early slate, 2 games in the late slate, this one, absolute piss boiler.
Mm.
It seems ridiculous, doesn't it?
No reason for this at all.
Three or four in the late slate's a nice number. You can keep up with them enough to know what's going on in all the games. Like the early window could be just too much sometimes.
Yeah.
I'd be happy if it was like 6-7-6.
Yeah.
So it was a bit more even. Like it's I don't know.
There's no reason not to.
It was one of the London games. They had obviously the 2:30 kickoff. Then there was a good sized slate at 6. There were 5, I think, between 9:05 and 9:25. Then obviously you've got Sunday night. That's perfect. That's all we want. No, let's have 2 games and one of them has to be the Cardinals. Well, thanks for that. That's really going to keep us glued to this channel.
That's bedtime. That's what that is. All right, quick straw poll. Best throwback jersey this year in the NFL. I'm not even going to waste your time by voting because you know what my answer is. All I will say that however good that Seahawks jersey looks, it was let down by the lighting of the field around it. It didn't stand out on my high definition feed anyway. As great as it does look. Pat, what's the best one?
I was going to say Seahawks. I don't feel I can now. Anything other than the fucking horrible creamsicle ones, frankly.
Rich?
I mean, I'm still loving the Niners 94 ones. But of other teams, I do love the Oilers.
Good man. Mark?
Maybe not a jersey, but I did quite enjoy seeing...
Are you going to talk about a helmet?
I quite enjoy seeing the old school Giants on their helmets rather than just whatever it is now, but like the big G. I quite liked it when it was a full word. That just took me back to the 90s.
And took you back to Scott Norwood, I imagine.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, no, not that. but it was like I did quite like them.
Is it the Kelly Greens for you?
No, I like the Giants. Like throwback to the 90s one, you know, with the like darker blue, we got the bit of red. Yeah. I do have an issue with the Titans throwbacks.
You mean the Texans ones?
Yeah, they aren't the Titans uniforms. They were the Oilers. That's a different team. You don't see the Ravens dressing up like the fucking Browns, do you?
it's okay.
You know what Grant Adam Ski is.
Because this podcast isn't going to go on long enough on it anyway. Let's wind Adam up about the Houston Oilers.
Oh, no, I'm going to. You know what? I'm not going to bite. I'm not going
to
bite.
He's got this to deal with, and his missus eats kiwis with the skin on. He's got a lot going on, bless him.
Oh, I used to like you. Some of you, maybe. Right. Shall we... Anything else anyone wants to talk about other than week 9 and some sentences? Please say no. Good.
No.
I was worried there for a moment.
I was going to mention one thing quickly.
Of course you were.
Your phone battery that's about to die.
Well, I know. 6% now.
Just make him make them up.
What's gone on with the 49ers, Rich? Because we spent 3 weeks ago, we sat here basically talking about how like Brock Purdy has yet to make a mistake. He's only lost a game when he like ruptured a tendon. I can't see any team stopping them. So is it our fault that they're now shit?
It's you personally. It's your fault. And you said Purdy was great and you're a believer and it's all been shit since then.
Yeah, literally, I feel like that's the case. And why can't Kyle Shanahan win a game when he's losing in the fourth quarter? Ever.
That narrative.
Lots of teams do lose when they're trailing in the fourth quarter.
I've got a stat for you. More teams win games when they're ahead in the fourth quarter than when they're behind.
But teams also do manage at some stages to win when they're losing in the fourth quarter. And in 31 games that he's ever trailed in the fourth, he's won one of them.
Yeah, look at how many of those trailing in the fourth quarter games came in the really shit quarterback years, because the vast majority of them do.
There's not that many games that's
career. That's not just at the Niners.
But there's a chunk of those games that are just the really shit years of... Because somebody quoted this stat last year, I think, and somebody else broke down, like, these are the games, like the percentage of games where we basically had, you know, the CJ Bethards of the world quarterbacking for us.
Hey, take my backup quarterback's name out of your mouth.
The stat I saw was that Shanahan is 0-37 when trailing by 8 or more points in the fourth quarter. At 0-41, only Jay Gruden as a head coach has a worse record since 2000.
That's the sort of name you want to be.
That's the company you want to be in.
But it's sort of.
But is there what's gone wrong with them at the minute? Because it feels like there's Bosa can't get to the opposition quarterback at the moment. You've got players who are getting injured all of the time. All of a sudden, and Brock Purdy's all of a sudden started making mistakes.
Yeah, the Bosa thing I'm not too worried about because his pressure rate is like still top 5 in the league. You know, sometimes those just don't turn into sacks. I mean, you've only got to look at what Joe Burrow did on Sunday with that ridiculous escape from two sacks in one play.
He's got to sack him there, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Steve Wilks and his work as DC, but we lost three games last year and went to the NFC Championship, three games on the bounce last year and went to the NFC Championship game. Sometimes these things just don't work, and sometimes those games come all in a bunch. You know, we've got the bye week, we've got time to sort it out. If we come out of the bye week and have like two or three games where we still look like shit, then I'll start worrying. But at the moment, it's just the usual ups and downs. It's the classic overreaction. If we'd been 5-3 and not lost three on the bounce, say they'd been just scattered in, people wouldn't have this narrative. It's that everyone was so up on the 49ers after going 5-0 that now the world is apparently falling down around, you know, Kyle Shanahan's ankles. And it's just, it's one of those things. I'm a little bit worried about it, but we've been in all of those games. You know, we'd have beaten the Browns, but for a missed field goal. We had opportunities to win each of the other two games. It's only really the Bengals where we just didn't look very good at all. And that was more of a concern that we looked jaded. And I guess, you know, you've got a bye week, you're trying to get healthy. And, you know, missing Trent Williams is a big thing. Trent Williams is a big part of the offense on that roster, just in terms of setting the tone. And yeah, our corners are not great, but we knew that already. And they've been picked on in these couple of games. Joe Burrow looked good. Joe Burrow looked back to normal.
Yeah, so, that annoys me as well, by the way. I'm annoyed that they're there.
Who are they playing next?
exactly. Yeah.
I'm never sure how much faith to put in these, like, interpretive metrics, but even when Purdy had a really low interception rate, he had one of the highest interception worthy rates.
Yeah, and turnover worthy plays.
Those gambles has just stopped paying off a little bit.
Yeah, and that will be up and down. Like, he's got a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, and sometimes that stuff works and sometimes it doesn't. We knew that going into the season. Like, that's not new news for anyone who was paying attention over the end of last year. But the question is, you know, again, you say those metrics and you said them with a little bit of tongue in cheek, because you and I both know that there's a lot of that stuff is being...
it's someone's judgment, right?
So yeah, they've already got a judging whether it's a turnover-worthy throw. Yeah.
Kind of like pressure rates in that respect.
Yeah.
You've got
someone like Nate making those decisions.
Oh, that's worryingly true. Right, let's preview some games, shall we? Final bit of homework comes to fruition for us. Week 9, it starts with Tennessee at Pittsburgh.
A matchup of one team that lost a quarterback last week and another one that potentially found theirs.
Miami versus Kansas City.
Best quarterback duel in the international game series, ?
Yeah. Minnesota at Atlanta.
Jaren Hall season? I added the question mark after the Josh Jobs trade.
Seattle at Baltimore.
Seattle look good right now, so expect the good Ravens to turn up for this one.
Arizona at Cleveland.
Looks like Kyler will be back for this one, and if Watson is back too, this could be an entertaining game.
Maybe. LA Rams at Green Bay. Cracking matchup this one, or it would have been in 2018. Tampa Bay at Houston.
Kate Dalton season.
Washington at New England.
After looking decent and narrowly losing to the Eagles, it's now absolutely primed for Washington to look terrible and lose 13-10 in Foxborough.
Definitely. Chicago at New Orleans.
The Saints actually look like they had an offense, and if they can keep this going, this will be a nice, comfortable watch for their fans.
Indianapolis at Carolina.
Struggling to think of something interesting to say about this one, so let's go with, hey, at least it's not in prime time.
Is it in the late window, though?
Yes. Unfortunately so.
New York Giants at Las Vegas.
Sadness.
Dallas at Philadelphia.
Cowboys fans are getting cocky again, so this week the NFL scriptwriters will be bringing them right back down to earth.
Good.
Buffalo at Cincinnati. Speaking of scripts, I've read the script, and sorry to spoil this, but there's a Damar Hamlin pick six coming. And finally, LA Chargers at New York Jets.
And Justin Herbert checked down his way to another victory. And the Jets must do anything remotely resembling a competent offense. Don't tune in on Monday night and you won't have to find out.
That's the advice. Was it last week where there were three really good primetime games? That's your lot.
Yeah,
they were getting so excited about Herbert this week. Oh my God, a 14 completion sequence. Wow, amazing. And then you're like, yes, but that throw was 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage to a guy who took it 39 yards. These aren't impressive completions.
They're still allowed Sunday night football. They're still allowed to flex games, right? Why are they doing it?
I remember there was a club commentator once talking. This was the other football, you know, the round one that I used to like. And he was saying, you know, we'll have more, you know, more highlights and analysis from today's 9-goal thriller. They lost 8-1. So in theory, what you say is true. But with the added context, you know, obviously you don't want like a local reporter saying, oh, we'll have more reports on this absolute shoo-in that we got this afternoon. Please, no, please don't turn off.
If you're familiar with the work of Adam Hurry, I'll say what he would say. And that you cannot have a thriller that's 8-1. You can't use that word. Not for 8-1. Not for 7-2 even. 6-3 maybe.
I think for a thriller it's got to be within a goal. 5-4 is a thriller.
Yeah, definitely.
4-3 is a thriller. 8-0.
I think 6-3 can be a thriller as long as it's 3-all at some point during that game.
Yeah, if it was 6-0.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and it was just let them have a couple, boys, you know, but
6-0, well, and then a consolation field goal takes me back to playing the Bills.
Well, maybe Sunday, Buffalo, Cincinnati. That's all right. The other two primetime games. I mean, well, Will Levis to watch. I'll tune in.
Let's just be grateful that it's not. You know, like, I'm amazed that it's not Cowboys Eagles that got picked for Sunday Night Football. I'm staggered. That didn't get chosen.
Well, unusually, that actually seems interesting. I get very NFC East weary at times, but those are two teams I want to watch at the moment.
Just so glad Joe and Troy are gone.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it'd be Kevin and Greg, wouldn't it?
Oh, just be like, I've got to part with, again, for a second game in a row, fucking Collinsworth doing the Bills game. And if,
here's a guy. Know,
There's a guy who wouldn't get excited about. Shit. Yeah, if he went out and like the hottest woman in the world started giving him a blowy, he would still commentate on it by going, "Well, this is interesting. I wonder what's going to happen next. Let's find out. Let's see if they do a bit of razzle dazzle."
Razzle dazzle. I can confirm it's Burkhart and Olsen for Dallas, Philadelphia. Yeah. I always look up who Kevin Harlan's doing because he's just fantastic. And that's Indianapolis at Carolina.
Oh, God. Poor guy.
Come on, show some respect.
I heard you had Beth Mowins this week and was like, oh, lucky Tennessee. I've got all right.
Why is he in Frankfurt?
I don't know. Frankfurt is Rich Eisen.
Is it NFL Network one?
Yeah, Rich Eisen, Jason McCourty, Dan Orlovsky. Yeah, it's not Kurt. Yeah, Jason McCourty. Jason McCourty, that's good. Iron Eagle's one of my favourites.
I like Iron. I like anyone who's got the nerve to call yourself that when your name's Ian.
And your surname's Eagle.
Yeah.
He sounds like some kind of minor Marvel superhero.
Iron Eagle does sound like it should be like a call sign from a Jack Higgins novel or something like that.
He's been screwed as well this week. He's on Tampa Bay versus Houston. That's some bad matchups. All right, let's get away from the NFL. And we've run on long, which is very unusual for us. I know.
It's all my fault.
It's definitely partly your fault. All right. Any other business? If you've ever listened to Fighting Talk, it's entirely copied from that. Except there's no point scoring here. Whatever you'd like to talk about. Why don't you start, Neil?
Anyway, sport is supposed to be our pleasant distraction. you know, from the rigors of real life. So why do I bother watching a team playing a format of a sport that is dying anyway and still getting angry about English cricket? why am I doing it to myself? I mean, I played a thought experiment the other day. I looked at this squad and thought, okay, how many of these people are going to be here in 4 years for the tournament that'll get played? Ho, ho. Under no count for the 50 are going to be scrapped. And I stopped at 4 players from this squad who realistically should be there in 4 years. This seems like a problem.
I don't know where to start with this.
Podcast on it.
Well, other than to invite you on the next time we do the long leg podcast, which is a couple of times a year. Whatever happened to yours? You were doing one.
19 for 19. Yeah. The chap I was doing it with, he much like my other podcasting co-host, just seemed to disappear. I'm not killing these people. I have to stress.
Mark, where would you like to take this?
So as a person of my vintage, there was a program that I think the vast majority of people watched that provided a lot of very funny moments and a lot of really entertaining shows, and it was great. And probably the best character from that program's the person who played him died this week, Matthew Perry, who was a brilliant comic actor, but an incredibly troubled soul. It was one of those things that I think that when someone who you grew up watching and knew was one of the most quotable characters that you remember from your childhood, you almost like, and it seems really horribly cliched to say based on the show that he was in, but he felt like he was someone that you knew and was a friend of yours, because you'd watched him and you'd laughed along with him for so long. And it just seems horribly tragic that someone who is of, you know, like of our generation, who watched that show for a lot of times, if someone who's been like died is now no longer with us, for someone who was as good at what he was and generally a troubled but really nice bloke. And what's also upsetting was that as soon as people heard that he had died this week, my instant reaction, I think a lot of people's instant reaction, was what's he done to himself? And, you know, it was, it's like, wasn't a surprise given, you know, the troubles that he went through. Only very soon afterwards to find out that he'd been playing pickleball and basically has had a heart attack in his hot tub after he's been playing. And actually, it's just a really, really tragic, horrible accident. So yeah, it was just a shout out to Matthew Perry, who was one of those like actors and comedians that I enjoyed watching above most of the others.
So long, Benny.
Agreed. And
very much above the other five in that show that you mentioned.
The character of Chandler as well is a lot of, when we watch comedy shows, we expect to be made to laugh, but very few shows have a character who is trying to make his friends laugh within the show.
Yeah,
so it's like the joke within the joke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the tough one, because a comedy is going to be funny because of the situations you throw in it at these characters. But when you have a character who, you know, he's going to tell jokes, that's incredibly tough. And the boy pulled it off. I mean, you think, yeah, there's only a couple of shows I can think of that have had characters like that who were trying to be funny within the show. The comedian, you know, in the comedy. I mean, you took like
Jerry Seinfeld's the obvious one.
Jerry Seinfeld, you know, Cliff and Norm from Cheers. You know, these are, you know, they're not essentially the main characters, but they're the ones who are trying to get all the laughs. And he did it better than anyone.
I think it could be
heartbreaking.
It's funniest. This is perhaps to the scriptwriter's credit more than anything, I don't know, but the funniest moments were where his character would tell a joke that would fall flat to the characters, if you see what I mean, and the way he could do that
supposedly an awful lot of the most recognizable moments, like most quotable moments, the stuff that were totally off script that he had ad-libbed at the time, because he thought it was something that was funny. And all the other characters have said that some of their favourite moments from it was how funny he was when the cameras had stopped rolling, and it was just being in his presence, and he embodied that character when he wasn't being that character. And it's really sad to think of how troubled he was during the filming of that almost entire series that it was on, because he was like a genius of comedy and what he did. And sadly missed.
Yeah, it for me, it was the fact that he was probably the first comedic character that I came across, at least in American comedies, where he was sarcastic but very clever and funny with it. Yeah. Obviously, we had Blackadder on our side, but with the Americans, it was either clever, funny, or very sarcastic, but very rarely both. And walking that fine line was just so brilliantly done, and so cleverly played with the nuance of the character, where you could see that the humor was most of the time deflecting away from dealing with shit that he didn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Loved it. One of the best lines in any comedy ever. Dear God, this parachute is a knapsack.
Yeah. Yeah. And you again used as a way to avoid having a difficult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yep. Brilliant. So good.
Okay. Rich, follow that.
Well, I'm going to go back to NFL adjacent, because I'm sure as all of us have been pretty immediately bored of the whole Taylor Swift fucking nonsense with the Kelce and the Chiefs thing. I was particularly delighted to note that the Denver Broncos at the end of the game, after they'd won, played Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well played, gents.
That's almost as good a move as Iron Eagle quoting Taylor Swift song lyrics in whatever game he did, just as that story was starting to break.
Yeah, great.
I did, on a slightly related note, there were lots of memes and stuff going on about Will Levis's ex-girlfriend and poking a lot of fun at her during that game, who is posting on Instagram about whatever. Anyway, with the game on in the background in one of her pictures, which was quite enjoyable. I digress. Pat?
Well, I should probably follow the themes of comedy.
I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to unmute yourself, because I muted you instead of me when I was about to cough, which is really, really big move.
I hadn't even noticed. Incredible.
Comedic timing, it is very much. Chandler would have been proud of that.
Oh, amazing.
I'll stay on the theme of comedy and NFL adjacency. I promise I'll get back to you on Ross Noble. And as you know, on this podcast, we always follow through on the things we say we'll do on previous weeks. He was very funny. I enjoyed it a lot. So, worth finding a spot on the tour. If there are any left out there, there might be.
Did you find, I assume you found someone to go with you?
Suzanne got it out in the end. And then
good for her.
Struggling all weekend. She's got like sciatica and it's causing her back and leg issues, but she took some painkillers and suffered through a comedy show. Not sure whether laughing with a bad back's a good idea, but you know, we are where we are.
I was about to compare it to a sports star just sticking injections of painkillers just to get through a game and worrying about the consequences later, so she's a hero for that.
Yeah, no punctured lungs, but it's part. You know, it's the balance between is it so painful, but am I so thrifty that I'm just gonna, you know, I'll tolerate the pain because I'm not waste £30. The other thing I was going to plug was on the subject of the Tush Push, which you talked about before. Brandon Perner put out a video of other cool plays that were banned because this one might get banned, so that's worth looking at. But my favorite one, there was a pass rusher whose patented pass rush move was to just smash the O lineman in the helmet. And then he was like, when I smashed him in the head, they blinked, and that was my advantage. That and the legal concussion that you gave them until we outlawed that pass rush move.
Why everything was better in the 80s and 90s. You could just hit people and it was fine.
Bloody namby pambies these days.
Exactly. All right, I have a question for you all. What is the worst Oscars style award show or that kind of event that you've ever seen? Not necessarily all of you, just any answers to that question. Because if they're not the Ballon d'Or, they'll be incorrect. My son wanted to watch this, and this was last night on one of the TNT sports channels. It's some of the worst television, worst anything I have ever seen in my entire life. If you've never, like the Ballon d'Or, we all know what it is. It's awarded, but they've got other prizes in this ceremony, like the Oscars. And they've made it into like a 2 or 3 hour, I would say Eurovision meets the Brits, meets with even less sophistication. The hosts of the event were Didier Drogba and a lady called Sandy Eribert. It drifted incoherently from French to English to whatever language a footballer on the podium could speak. And with someone voicing it over, but only translating some of it. Like, I'd have been fine if just they'd shut up. But when I speak enough, well, I can understand enough French to get the gist of most of it. And then just when you thought you were getting somewhere, he'd talk over you and make no sense. The style of the show is exactly as you'd expect. It's sort of UEFA. I'm going to blame FIFA, but I think it's UEFA. Just lots of propaganda, basically, interspersed with really poorly delivered banter, in inverted commas. Gary Lineker popped up to host, to present one of the awards. And they'd obviously scripted a couple of questions, but clearly hadn't agreed with Gary Lineker what his answers was going to be. So he came on to the Match of the Day tune, which was cheesy enough. Then, of course, Didier Drogba had to explain to the French audience what the Match of the Day tune was. Then they had a bit of banter where Gary Lineker joked with him that Didier would take his job because he's so good at hosting things. Whereupon the lady presenting along with Didier then asked Lineker the scripted question of, so what do you think about Didier? Do you think he could host a show like Match of the Day in the future?
Oh, Jesus.
Way to think on your feet, love. Good job.
It sounds fucking riveting. I mean, to be honest, it's like to borrow the words of Blackadder, it started badly. It trailed off a bit in the middle. It was a bit ropey towards the end. But apart from that, it was brilliant.
That seems like a perfect way to end the show with a description of this as well, I would say. before we do that, just because you're slightly reputable, Neil.
Been called many things.
And I do enjoy dipping into some of the things you write from time to time, but where can people find you for anyone that's listened this far?
If you wish to force that punishment upon yourself, you can read my weekly Tight End Streamers articles at RotoViz. You can find my scouting matchup box score reports for 4-for-4 football for the Chargers, the Jaguars, and the Cowboys. And you can find my contributions in the next edition of the Gridiron magazine. I'm not going to tell you what I've written this month or this quarter because that would ruin the surprise. You can also follow me on the site formerly known as Twitter at mdutton13.
There you go. I think anyone who's listened this far knows most of that anyway, but yeah.
And have muted and blocked me since.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I've enjoyed it. I hope.
No, thank you. Thank you all for having me. As I say, I apologize for the mess I've left. I should have taken my shoes off. but no, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, gents.
Cheers.
Yeah, that'll just about do us. So go well. Catch you again.